Welcome to worship, everyone. We have had a rather slow week here in Skegness, probably just as well as Stuart is still off caring for Johanna, and Eleanor has been suffering from hay fever all week, and in the end had to take Friday off. So our thanks to Margaret, and we did get through the week. So we're still celebrating Easter, so now let we continue to bring our thanks and praise to the risen Lord, the King of Kings, our true Majesty, the God of Heaven, living in us, our gentle Saviour and closest friend. Let's sing King of Kings, Majesty. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Of course, we all want to be saved and know the power of Jesus' resurrection. We come again to celebrate and worship the risen Lord, the shepherd of his sheep. So let's sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Jesus says, I am the gate. Come and be loved. Come and receive peace. Come and find life. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you because we know we are welcome. We come in the name of Jesus. We come because you call us by name. We come together in spirit to offer you our worship. Lord, we gather to hear you speak to us your words of life, life in all its fullness. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Amen. Well, today we are still in the Easter season as we continue our journey towards Pentecost. And today we continue to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. But now we move away from his resurrection appearances and recall how Jesus tried to teach his disciples who he really was and what they must do in response. I expect after those first resurrection appearances, the disciples themselves will have been looking back over their time with Jesus, trying to make sense of all that had happened. Just as it was vital for the first followers of Jesus to not only understand who Jesus was, but also what he was expecting of them. So it's just as vital for us to do the same. We need to understand just what the power of God to resurrect Jesus means for us today. Our response to the resurrection of Jesus just has to be, I want to be saved. Jesus is in fact calling everyone to be saved. For the most part, he is calling us as a shepherd calls for his lost sheep. And for so many people today are like lost sheep. So they need to hear the voice of the shepherd calling them to be saved. We need to hear his voice in order to stay on track. If we are committed to the Lord, if we want to live the way we were created to live, then it's vital that we listen to him. For believe me, we will hear his voice. For our theme today is we hear his voice. Our worship time together is about worshipping our Lord, thanking him for all he has done for us, confessing where we have failed to live out our faith, confessing to missed opportunities or misguided actions. We also use the opportunity to pray for the needs of others and our own needs. Sharing our prayers in this way can alert us to the needs we perhaps haven't recognised in others or even ourselves. So, it's great to worship. Oh, and of course, a big part of our worship is to sing our praises to the Lord. So it's great to join in with the singing. Having been trained for ministry in the Methodist Church, I place a great importance on using hymns and worship songs to complement the message. So don't just sing, but take in the words. The hymns and songs we sing are just one of the many ways that God is speaking to us. The most important part of our Sunday worship is to hear and understand the Lord's message to us, which I have the task of passing on to you. Remember, in Christ alone our hope is found. He is our light, our strength, our song, our comforter. Here, in the love of Christ, we all stand. Let's sing, In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save.
forth in glorious day. Up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, sin curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His, and He is mine, born with the precious blood of
You are our good shepherd, leading our feet on the way that is life. You give us rest and refreshment, and we praise your name. Even in our deepest times of fear, you are with us. You give courage and the hope of more joyful days. We give you thanks for your wisdom, on which we can build our lives. We give thanks for your feast of love, on which feeds us with all we need to live. We give thanks for your challenge to us to share your love, for your gifts are not ours alone. Strengthen us to hear your word and share your gifts, that we who are founded on you will grow strong and share your gifts with others who do not yet know you in their hearts. We pray today, Lord, that you will give us the confidence, that you will give us the grace and the power to fulfill our calling on our lives. Our heart's desire is to live a life worthy of your calling, a life compelled by your love. Lord, you said, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Lord, your call on our lives is persistent. You are the gate by which we enter into a full and wonderful relationship with you. You are the gate by which we are saved for eternity. You always keep your promises. Your faithfulness to us is beyond measure. Yet we often wander from you, and sometimes we fear that we cannot be the people you made us to be. We so often build our foundations on things of this world. We don't take time to explore your word. We don't wait for your wisdom. We depend too much on our own strength. Forgive us for building our own dreams. Have mercy on us when our own pride stops us turning to you. Lord, in a few moments of quiet, we just bring to you those thoughts on our minds today. Here are words we can trust. Christ Jesus came and lived among us, revealing the truth of God's love and grace. Those who had no hope, he called by name. To those who had lost their way, he said, "Follow me." To us who wait on God's mercy, we hear him say, "You are forgiven." Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving us. What can we say? You shed your blood for us. You took our sin and shame. Great are you, Lord, for we know your truth has set us free, and you have set your hope in us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing, "Thank You for Saving Me."
great is the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, as we pray to you now for the needs of your world, help us and those people we pray for to focus on who you are. Help us all to choose you to be our great influencer. Help us all not to listen to the voices in the world that would turn us away from you, but instead to focus on your words and your ways. Lord, this week we've remembered with joy the service and dedication of Queen Elizabeth II, who followed you all her life. We pray that King Charles will follow in her footsteps and follow you as an example to the people over whom he reigns. Lord, we pray for your world, where so many leaders and rulers do not follow your way. We ask that you would show yourself clearly to all those in power, so that they choose to follow your instructions, so that all people may have life and have it to the full. We lift you particular places of conflict and pain, remembering Ukraine, Gaza, Iran and the Middle East, and so many other places of conflict. Lord, raise up people of courage to be peacemakers in these lands, whose influence will lead to a cessation of violence and your reign of peace. We pray, Lord, for our own government, asking only that its ministers will be people of integrity. We pray for all those who are decision makers, that they will be given and listened to wisdom, true wisdom that comes only from you. And we pray for those whose lives are empty, for all who feel alone and unloved, for those whose lives lack purpose. We pray for those whose lives are filled with anger and bitterness, for those who cannot let go of the past and so have no present or future. We pray for those whose lives are filled with anguish and pain, for those who suffer depression, for those who are afraid to go out, for those who cannot see a way forward, those who live in fear of what tomorrow may bring. Lord, bring them all abundant life. And Lord, may your abundant life fill our world, our churches and ourselves. Help us as individuals and as a church community to seek your wisdom on what more we might be able to do to help others in our local communities. Lord, you have called us your disciples, uniting us in the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, sharing each other's joys and sorrows. And so we bring you the names of those in need known to us. Lord, we pray for all who care for their loved ones. Thank you for hearing our prayers and for answering them in your way and in your time. And as you taught us, Lord, so we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, let your living water flow over our souls. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled our minds. All our cares and burdens onto you we roll. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's sing, Let Your Living Water.
Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled.
Jesus.
So once again we pause to make our offering to the Lord, and once again I want to thank all of you who continue with your tithing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you as we walk through this transitory life. You are walking with us, and we hear your guiding and directing our ways and our thoughts. So Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth, as we seek a closer walk with you. Amen. Well, I want to know Jesus, and I want to remain in Jesus. I want to be saved. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters by me will be saved. Let's hear now Jesus' own words from John's Gospel.
The reading is from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, I'm not sure about today, but back in the day, in the sheepfold, the shepherd functioned as a gate, letting the sheep in and protecting them. Jesus is the gate to God's salvation for us. He offers access to safety and security. Christ is our protector. In contrast to the thief who takes life, Jesus gives life. The life he gives right now is abundantly rich and full. It's eternal life. Yet it can begin immediately we accept Jesus into our lives. Life in Christ is lived on a higher plane. Because of his overflowing forgiveness, love and guidance. But as I've said on so many times, that doesn't mean that we're exempt from suffering in this life. Indeed, just as was Jesus himself. The Apostle Peter was all too well aware of this. And as I said last week, Peter was probably writing to people who were exiled from their homeland. People who now find themselves living in an often hostile world. And what Peter is saying in his letter is that whatever threats or attacks the wider world inflicts on them, they are now kept safe in the community of believers and in the hand of God. They owe their newfound security to the grace of the crucified and risen Jesus. And Peter is reminding them that Jesus himself suffered, and he suffered for them. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let's hear now what Peter says.
The reading is from First Letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 9 to 25. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you will called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Peter writes, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. Let's sing, "It is a thing most wonderful."
This is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save.
Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The watchman opens the gate, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And the Apostle Peter writes, For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So to be saved, we have to enter the gate of life, which is Jesus. That's if we want to be saved, that is. Saved in this life and the next. Well, I want to be saved. Do you? You know, it's only through being fully united with Christ's perfect life can we be saved. And only then will we experience fully the resurrection power of God. A power that will enable us to do good works. For make no mistake, we all have an almighty task. And that task is to bear fruit. And the fruit is the building up of the kingdom of God, Jesus' own body on earth, the church. And what a church that is. A church built on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ himself. The kingdom of God here on earth. You know, for any building, firm foundations are vital. And that is just so true of our lives. Firm foundations are vital. But what matters also is how we build on them. And it's only by listening to Jesus, being close to him and open to him, can we truly establish firm foundations. Only then can we build on those foundations and discover and claim the power of his resurrection. Only then can we have that assurance that we are indeed saved. We can hear Jesus. We can hear him in so many different ways. We can hear him speak to us through the scriptures, through the message he gives to those called to preach the word. We can hear Jesus through advice that other Christians might give us. And indeed, probably the most important way we can hear Jesus is by being attentive to hearing him speak directly into the various situations we find ourselves in. Speaking to us? Well, of course you might find it a hard thing to understand. God speaking to us? Well, let me try and explain. I'm sure you've all had the experience of thinking of something. It's going on all the time. Thoughts are bobbing around in our heads all the time. Sometimes even when we're asleep. Most people refer to that as dreaming. Of course, some as nightmares. So you see, it doesn't actually have to be a voice speaking out loud. But thoughts are there almost all the time. It's like an inner voice in our heads. So let's take that a stage further. Where are those thoughts coming from? We could say they're based on our experiences or something we heard or read. We could say it's our brain operating. Just think about it when you're perhaps shopping. Don't you get thoughts about what you are meant to be shopping for? Perhaps your mind takes you back to the ideas you might have been mulling over before you set out. Then you see something. And again, your mind starts to say, have I got one of those? Do I really need one? Can I afford it? What will my wife or husband say if I buy it? I have thoughts like that most of the time. Sometimes it stops me buying, and on other occasions I just say, what the heck, and buy it anyway. You see, these are thought processes going on in our head. What about when we're doing something, like driving a car, digging the garden, playing a computer game? Something in your head is sort of directing you. Even when we're having a conversation, the thoughts about what we're saying are fractionally there before we actually say anything. How often have we realised, I should have thought more about it before I opened my mouth? We've all done it. So just try and imagine that these thoughts are actually God speaking to you. Okay, maybe not all of them. I know it's hard to think that our thoughts are coming from someone outside our minds, but try and think about it as a sort of mobile phone. We don't ever stop to think how the words of someone miles away can be picked up and relayed to our ears. These days we simply take it for granted. So what's so strange about the possibility that God, who after all actually created us, can speak to us from billions of miles away? And we don't need an expensive mobile phone contract for him to do so. We just need to be tuned in. If we are open to God through Jesus, he will speak directly to us. Mind you, so does Satan, so we need to be very careful. Remember the passage from John's Gospel, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. We can hear God's voice, believe me. He is speaking to each one of us all the time. But we have to know his voice. How do we do that? Well, actually, it's pretty straightforward, if we want it to be. I'm reminded here about something I've observed over many years. Have you noticed that so often when we want an answer to something, we tend to go to the person we know who will give us the answer we want to hear? I can trace that back to when I was a child, and I think you will all have had the same experience. Who do you ask, Mum or Dad? And usually the answer was, I'll ask the one who will let me do it. How often are we faced with two different ways in which we can go? And how often do we either take the easy way, even though we know it's really the wrong way? God will always guide your thoughts in the correct way. Satan, however, wants you to go the wrong way. So we have to be vigilant. Jesus is telling us that his sheep follow him because they know his voice. You know, if we're honest, we all know right from wrong. So we know God's voice from that of Satan. But Satan's voice can be so soothing and comforting because we want it to be. And there are so often times when what we want is to be told, go on, do it. Nobody will find out. You see, Satan knows our weak spots and he plays on them. And by following the voice of Satan, we are more often than not causing a problem for someone else as well. But most of all, for ourselves. Peter writes, For you were like sheep going astray. Every time we follow the voice of Satan, we are like sheep going astray. And the crazy thing is, we know it. But like some naughty school kid, we think we can get away with it. Yes, I'll do it. But if I get caught, God will forgive me. You know, every time we do that, we are crucifying Jesus over again. Believe me, the pain we cause when we fail to listen to the voice we know is the right one is so often excruciating for someone else. My dear friends, there is only one way into the sheepfold, into the love and grace of God. That way is available to everyone, and that way is through the one true gate, Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And grace is the gift of God, not by doing good deeds so that no one can boast. For we are all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And it's this message, and this message alone, that will save this world. This is the message we hear when we have the courage to hear his voice, and his voice alone. And God is saying to each one of us right now, if only we are prepared to hear his voice. Will you come and follow me if I could call your name? And of course our response just has to be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. So let's sing now. Will you come and follow me? This place of worship, go with us and guide us through the coming days. Protect us from harm and help us to hear your voice. Create opportunities for us to share your love with those we meet. And so we go in love and peace to serve you, Lord, and your people, and to walk, listen, and talk with you. And we go with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.